SOS Radio on demand.
It changed my heart.
On demand.
It changes your life.
Thanks for downloading Scott Harrell's podcast.
There's so many different translations of the Bible, and each one offers a unique way of studying the scriptures, and it's something we all want to know more about, but it's hard to know where to start. We're actually talking with Dr. Gene Getz today at SOS Radio, and Gene's the president of the Center for Church Renewal. He's a renowned Bible teacher, seminary professor. Good morning, Gene.
Well, hey, good morning, Scott. It's great to chat with you.
Yeah, I know you've spent the last couple of years putting together the Life Essentials Interactive Study Bible. I know there's a million different translations. There's a lot of different Bibles you walk through the store, but you wanted to do something different in this modern age to help the scripture come alive.
Well, I did. And of course, the invitation came from Broadman and Holman, and they had just finished their brand new translation called the Holman Christian Standard Bible. It's now updated called the Christian Standard Bible. But because they had published a number of my books, character books particularly, and knew that I ended each chapter with principles to live by, they said, hey, Gene, would you take our new translation and do a principles to live by study Bible from Genesis to Revelation? Well, I was passing my baton of leadership at that time, and that, by the way, is 15 years ago. So I thought, well, Lord, this may be what you want me to do. And then they went on to say, we think you can do it in 2 years because of all you've written and everything. Hello. When I got into it, 7 years later, I finished the project. I mean, it literally took 7 years, basically full time. But boy, it was a great opportunity as I went through verse by verse, line by line, paragraph by paragraph, looking for principles to live by. And of course, as you know, I've been able to embed right in the biblical text 1,500 principles to live by that just flow right from Genesis to Revelation, unfolding the biblical story. And it's just been an exciting personal process for me. I mean, you can't spend 7 years in the Word basically full time without it impacting your life and making you realize, wow, what a gift God's given us.
You've studied the Bible, you've taught the Bible on the seminary level for years, but when you were going through over these 7 years putting together this new project, how did God get a hold of your heart in a new way and just reignite that passion?
Well, it's just, number one, is to realize the way in which God has given us this Bible. And then also, I'll tell you another thing that really hit me is, you know, you go back to England, 16th century, William Tyndale emerged believing that common people needed the Bible, and Henry VIII was not happy, and because if people read the Bible and found out how he was living and the other leaders of the church, they'd see all of the hypocrisy, and Tyndale wasn't to be denied, and you know, he started the process of translation into English, our language, and had to leave for Europe to finish it because of threats on his life, came back to England because he was set up by someone who said, hey, you can come back, you'll be safe. And he came back, but it was a setup, and they burned him at the stake. And his final words, you know, were, Lord, open the eyes of the King of England. And God did, but I thought myself, you know, here's a man that literally gave his life so that I could have the Bible in my language. When I think of, you know, the opportunity I had, it was, there's no comparison with the time and the effort. It was just a pure blessing. But to think, here's a man who died, that I could do that. I could sit here and read my Bible in English. That impacted me too, just the historical perspective.
It's so wild how we have the Bible and we put it on a shelf. We sort of take it for granted sometimes. And you go back to the story of men like William Tyndale, who basically risked his life to translate the Bible into modern language. And we're talking about that with Dr. Gene Getz today at SWS Radio. I want to talk about the inspiration of the Bible. I know a lot of people today say, okay, the Bible was written by flawed people. The Bible was written by man. And it's a collection of things. How do we know that the Bible is trustworthy? Gene, you've studied it for years. What's made you just fall in love with the process?
Yeah, well, that was a passage that really has impacted me as well in John chapter 14, 15, 16, where Jesus was in the upper room with those, what really was 11 guys. Judas had split, but, and they were nervous and worried, and he said, don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm going to send you another counselor, another parakletos is a Greek word, It could be translated, I'll send you another encourager, another teacher, another comforter. And then right through that whole passage, Jesus said that he will guide you into all truth. He'll bring everything to your remembrance that I've taught you these last 3.5 years. And it's just amazing when you follow the unfolding of that promise with the apostles. And as they, for example, Matthew, some 30 years later, you know, he's sitting somewhere doing something, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit brings to memory all the Beatitudes. And then, you know, the Sermon on the Mount and everything that's recorded in Matthew or John. And by the way, this is interesting. Here's John 60 years later, probably in Ephesus, and the Holy Spirit comes on him and he begins to write, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we," referring to himself and the apostles, "we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And he goes on to record the whole Gospel of John through this promise that Jesus gave. Now, that happened 60 years later. Think about that, how Holy Spirit led these men to give us the Scriptures. And it's, if you approach it from the standpoint of what the Scriptures say and how the Bible came into existence, you can't say it's just a book that was written by a bunch of guys who made up stories. How in the world could they all come to the same basic story from Genesis to Revelation? It's one unfolding redemptive story by all of these authors of the Word of God. It just doesn't make sense. And I think the Scriptures themselves can help break through the skepticism that people have about the Bible.
Blessed are the peacemakers. That's a phrase we're hearing a lot this week as we've been thinking about all the racial tension that's been going on across our country and all the injustice. I mean, if we're being real about it, we're talking with Dr. Gene Getz today at SWIS Radio. He's a president of the Center for Church Renewal. He's a renowned Bible teacher, seminary professor. And when we dig into the Beatitudes, Jesus talks about peace. What have you learned about peace, Gene?
Well, number one is that we need to pray for it. You know, in terms of right now, if you think in terms of our situation, when Paul got out of prison the first time, he wrote to Timothy in the second letter in the second chapter, and he said, first of all, I want you to encourage the people to pray for all those in authority, kings, all those in authority. And that meant Nero. You know, that meant Herod. That meant Festus and Felix, the governors that were pagan, as all get out. But here's why he said to pray. He said, pray that we may live peaceable lives in all peace, in a peaceful environment, because God is not willing that any should perish. In other words, he wants all to be saved. And right now, if you have any passage that is relevant to what's going on, just open your Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 2, and look at what Paul says as you watch the television tonight and see what's happening all the way across the United States in terms of a lack of peace and violence. Right now, we need to pray for peace. That's, first of all, Paul said, that's a priority. It's a priority then, it's a priority now.
It's funny how you open up the Bible and you're doing a study and you read the footnotes and you see all the commentary. And sometimes you wonder, I wonder who actually wrote that commentary. Well, I'll tell you what, we're talking with Dr. Gene Getz today at SWIS Radio. And he's one of the guys that writes the Bible commentaries. He actually has a new study Bible that he put together called Life Essentials Interactive Study Bible. And Dr. Getz, it's interesting when we want to study praying, there's so many notes that we see. Everybody has an opinion. And Jesus' disciples were walking with him. They'd seen that he was walking without sin. He was seeing the way that he was healing people and encouraging people. And as they were walking with him, they saw how he would remove himself and go and pray. And they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray, Master. Now, what have you noticed about the Lord's Prayer that most people don't realize?
Well, basically, it's a model prayer. It really correlates with elements of prayer that you see even in the Old Testament. For example, when Nehemiah was praying as a cupbearer for the king and praying for help to help rebuild the walls in Jerusalem, the first thing he did, he acknowledged God's greatness. Well, what does the Lord's Prayer say? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then he reminded God of his promises. And if you read the Lord's Prayer, you see God's promises. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is heaven. Then Nehemiah confessed his sins and the sins of the people. What do you see in the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then he became very specific in his request. And you see the specific request. Don't bring us into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. So the Lord's Prayer is a model prayer, and you can see these elements throughout other prayers that are listed really in the Bible, including Paul's prayers in Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and so forth. You know, with each one of these 1,500 principles, there's a QR code, which means the reader can access 1,500 videos where I teach all 1,500 of these principles. So there's over 300 hours of video that you can access with your iPhone or your tablet just by getting the Bible and getting a QR reader. You know, there's a lot of free QR readers, but we have designed one especially for the Bible. It's called the Life Essentials QR Reader. It took us a year to develop that app. And once you access these QR codes with that app, there are a lot of other features on that app that will help them. And the exciting thing, you know, is that, Scott, is when this came off the press, we had no idea what was going to happen. But the moment it came off the press, we began to hear from people all over the world who were able to access these videos through the QR code. So God has chosen to bless this technology because a lot of, even the younger generation, often say to people, if you want to know how to use QR codes, QR readers, ask your six-year-old because they learn it. They're teaching them it in school. And so God is using this technology, and I'm really thankful.
We speak to so many people that have a hard time diving into Scripture. We're actually talking with Dr. Gene Getz today at SWIS Radio. He's been a seminary professor and pastor for years and just put together the Life Essentials Interactive Study Bible. And when you dig into the language that we have behind these things, you know, we maybe grow up thinking all the these and the thous, or you read something more like Eugene Peterson's paraphrase in the Message where, you know, he's just kind of putting it into plain language like he's writing his own devotional. But you know what? You put together this study Bible, Gene, where you talk about 1,500 different principles, and almost like that's the commentary in it, but it goes a whole lot deeper. And one of those, we were talking about the Lord's Prayer a few minutes ago, and you were talking about one of the principles that you had in the book of Matthew talks about honoring God. And it says, when we give, when we pray, when we fast, we should do so with pure motives that glorify God, not ourselves. I think a lot of times when we pray, we're thinking of our own motives and what we need, but there's a part of that that's about honoring God and asking his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. What does that mean?
Well, as you go through the whole scripture, Scott, you'll see priorities. For example, take Matthew 6:33. What is the balance there? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you as well. Now, Jesus is not saying we don't need these things. What he is saying is get your priorities straight. Honor God first. Seek him first and his righteousness. Then concentrate on your own needs. God is not against our asking for help. Because in the Lord's Prayer, it says, give us today our daily bread. But where does the prayer begin? It begins by honoring God first. And so, you know, Matthew 6:33 just fleshes that out more specifically, particularly in terms of our material needs.
Yeah, it's interesting because a lot of times I think we feel like the Bible is our anecdote or accepting Jesus is the solution. But really, it's not a finish line. It's a starting line. The joy comes in the journey.
That's right. And by the way, Scott, in case anyone is interested in securing a copy of the Bible, they can go to our website, which is BiblePrinciples.org. And if they just go to BiblePrinciples.org and then click on store, they can see the different editions. And one of the things I love to say is that for every Bible that we sell through our ministry, it helps us give one away. All the profits go back into our ministry to provide Bibles for people, particularly pastors in third world countries who absolutely have had no seminary training. For them, it's like a seminary in a box. So we're finding people are really responding to that, and we've been able to give thousands of these Bibles into third world countries, And we don't just give them the way, we train them on how to use this technology. And by the way, there are more smartphones in the world today than there are people. You go to the heart of Africa, and that's their means of communication. Even in poverty-stricken areas, they have mobile phones. And so they can access videos. And English is the second language. So, you know, God can use this. And I wish people would just really pray that God will bless this effort. And if they want to be a part of it, plus blessing their own heart, if they purchase a Bible, they'll enable us towards giving one away. So I just wanted to mention that because people love that opportunity. It's BiblePrinciples.org.
We're talking with Dr. Gene Getz today at SWS Radio. He actually has a new study Bible that he's been working on for the past 7 years. It's called the Life Essentials Interactive Study Bible. And he's been on the faculty at Moody Bible Institute, Dallas Theological Seminary. Gene, thank you so much for sharing some of your wisdom with us today.
Hey, Scott, my privilege. God bless you.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoy the discussion and want to help the podcast grow, you can make a $10 donation through sosradio.net or inside the SOS Radio app. Thanks for your generosity. It helps us experiment with new things and keep the discussions fresh.